there's a lot of hate going on. You pop a cherry with an orgy and it's all good.
Really, really talented, handsome young man.
Don't walk in here with a giant banana and think everything's going to be peaches.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Monday, March 28th, 2011. I'm your host, Adam Berry, and I'm a little bit out of sorts right now because what was originally in this place was 12 hours ago this time. We recorded what can only be described as an amazing first segment. It was 40 minutes without stopping, which is part of the reason why we're doing this. It was great. There was Florida basketball discussion among myself, Mr. Greg Luca, who is sitting right here.
What's up? Yeah, there was some heated arguments. It was awesome. You missed out on an awesome show. Sorry.
Mr. Jesse Simonton, who is also here.
Well, how's it going?
And Anthony Chang, who you're going to hear in the latter part of this show, although he could not be here because we're recording this at 12:45 a.m. after we put out the newspaper.
Just pretend he's here. You can never hear him anyway.
Right, he's quiet. It's like he's recording in another room. Now he actually is recording in another room. Basically what we talked about on this show, which, you know, in the lost tapes that hopefully someday we'll require from the depths of my MacBook, maybe before it dies, is Florida's 74-71 overtime loss to Butler in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. Just to recap and bring you up to speed real quick, because I know you love our analysis. Let's get one quick thing that stood out to each of us from the game. Let's start with Greg. He was there in New Orleans.
Well, for me, the biggest thing was just the shot selection at the end of regulation and overtime. Gators were tied at the end of the game. Walker ran the clock down and then jacked up a three from about 25 feet out when Macklin had a career high in points, and they could have just as easily thrown it into him and probably gotten either a foul, or he could have gone to the line and tried to win it, hit another one of those signature hook shots to send the Gators into the Final Four. So that's what I'll take from that. And then same thing goes for overtime. Boynton took a three with the Gators down one and about 19 seconds left. Maybe he had an opportunity to drive it in. Maybe Macklin should have been in there. They could throw it to him. He was on the bench with foul trouble or because he can't shoot free throws or for some reason we'll never know. Right. So yeah. The biggest thing I'll take from the game.
We pontificated on that, not to keep talking about what you can't hear, but we pontificated on that for at least 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
To open up the show. It was a pretty interesting argument, but basically,
you can sum it up as I just did in that we're kind of unhappy.
Nobody understood it. It was completely baffling. There's no reason to set up your 5'6" point guard in ISO at the end of a tie game. Really baffling decision on Billy Donovan and Irving Walker's part. Jesse, do you got one thing other than that stood out to you about the game?
Yeah, I guess the other thing that stood out to me, obviously, you know, Irv didn't hit a shot in regulation. That was a big thing we also discussed. But the other thing is Florida gave up 16 offensive rebounds and I think somewhere along about 18 second chance points. I think that's right. And, I mean, that was the difference in the game at the end when they blew that 11-point lead with 9-plus minutes to go. I mean, that's what really got Butler back in the game, and that's my little snippet.
The thing that stood out to me more in the grand scheme of things is that Florida, in losing, really gave up a chance to return to and potentially win a national championship. Like, it wasn't just about losing in the Elite Eight. It's the fact that in the next round, you know, and they proved that they were good enough to be in the Final Four by being so close and going to overtime, and they could have been in the next round against the number 11-seeded VCU team that certainly doesn't look beatable with the way they're playing now and the way they beat Kansas, but that's a team that Florida could, on a given day, come out and beat. And then you look on the other side of the bracket, you're looking at Kentucky that Florida beat this season, and UConn, which, you know, Kimball Walker's great. It would provide Greg, Connecticut boy, the dream NCAA championship rematch between Florida and, or matchup between Florida and UConn. Couldn't happen. I think Florida really missed out on a chance here, and that's the thing that stood out to me, is that they had every opportunity. They certainly were talented enough, and they were fortunate and lucky enough to get to the Final Four, to get to the championship game, but they really wasted that opportunity.
Right. Elite Eight appearances don't necessarily get remembered as much as Final Four appearances.
Exactly.
And that's where they really fell short.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
That's the biggest difference.
And it's good, factual statements, Greg. Greg was a lot more heated, as was I, in the original recording of this podcast, particularly referring to something else that we can talk about briefly, is Florida going forward next year, just sort of wrapping up last season, looking forward to next season. Florida is going to be real, real, real thin up front in the front court and real, real, real deep in the back court. They got six guys competing for three spots, and Irving Walker, Kenny Boynton, Mike Rosario, Brad Beal, Scotty Wilbekant, and potentially Casey Prather. Did I hit them all?
Yeah, that's all of them.
Yeah, those guys competing for the three guard spots, and then your starting forward and center are going to be Eric Murphy, who really was the brunt of a lot of jokes in the original recording of this show.
One thing we're kind of brushing over, we said the three guard spots. That's not exactly typical, but we don't see where they're going to have a choice.
Right, yeah, they have no choice but to play three guards next year, essentially, unless they want to do some crazy stuff with Casey Prather at the three, and I don't even want to think about the potential of that happening any other way.
Right.
But also, not a whole lot of depth coming back, though. You're looking in the front court at Patrick Young, Eric Murphy, will you get it, the four, this guy, Walter Pitchford,
this guy,
some recruit, and then, of course, the highly controversial Cody Larson, who might be the backup center.
Who is the backup center?
Who is apparently the backup center next year, and that's why Patrick Young's development is so incredibly important. To talk about how important Eric Murphy and Patrick Young are going to be, I'd recommend checking out the Alligator Sports video show, which is going to be going online tonight. Greg broke down, got some comments about from the team about end of the season and going forward next year. And I'd recommend also, just to shamelessly promote myself, you check out my column on alligatorsports.org right now. Talked about sort of the missed opportunities in Florida's big men and how they're going to miss that going forward next year, since
just
they won't have much of that.
I just posted.
Just posted by Jesse right now, who's doing online editor work. Earlier in the day, we're all fresh, you know. That was the first part of the day. Right now, we're winding down. But we do have the last half of the show for you. We do have the intro to sports journalism segment, and we do have our weekly awards. Some of the stuff might seem out of context, so just, you know, it's like putting that half of the show in a time capsule and just throwing it forward all of 12 right. hours into the future.
Pretend we talked about Dan Werner just now.
Right.
That's the only thing I need you to take.
There was a Dan Werner joke. Jesse said something about the WNBA and Werner NBA, and there were jokes about that. We talked a lot about Florida, so, if, you know, Florida basketball, if I make a Cody Larson joke, Greg's an idiot about defending Cody Larson. I vehemently was
Chang
against...
said nothing funny. It's just, Chang. I mean,
right.
We love Chang.
Right, we love Chang, but he may not have, you know, you'll hear from him. So enjoy these next two segments. We apologize for the technical error. We will be back next Monday. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, we're going to move on to our intro to sports journalism segment here. This is more or less the reader feedback portion of the show, because we did get some emails from people that haven't heard from throughout the duration of what we'll call this season, since spring started. We got an email from Josh Rose, a longtime listener. We've got an email from him before, though, about the discussion we had last week about detachment from covering Florida, sort of how you go from fan to detached, and whether or not that's based on sort of a journalistic thing, or the actual like a mental thing, or the actual process of covering the team. Like, does the bureaucracy grate on you to the point where you just realize, like, you know what, I can't be a fan of this? Or is it more of what we were talking about, where you just sort of convince yourself, all right, I'm not a fan anymore, and you act out that way? To me, it's a little bit of both, but it's mostly the whole concept of, like, I know I have to be unbiased, so I'm going to be unbiased. Like, watching how the sausage is made, so to speak, like, does grate on you. Like, you're going to dislike coaches and players a lot less when you have to, you know, like the ones who are not likable, when you have to deal with them on a regular basis, when you have to listen to them talk, when you see how little they have to say, when you see how little they care about you and about everybody else but themselves. So, like, that's kind of fair, like, coming at it from that perspective. But honestly, I just view it as something that I have to do and something that I can do. I don't know about y'all. Somebody jump in.
I mean, it's just what the job is to just look at it, just completely open mind and see what you see and then write about it. From dealing with the basketball team this season, I don't think there was one guy where I was like, I don't think that's a good person.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure football is different because everybody says so. But I did not have any problems at all with anybody on the basketball team. They all seemed like genuinely nice people. But that doesn't mean that I, like, support the team more or want them to win anymore. And I'm sure if I don't like the football players, I won't let that make me hope they lose.
Right.
Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just what it is. So right. I don't think in general having an inside view is any more or less likely to make you a fan or not fan of the team. You just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. It's a mindset more so than it is like a reaction to me. I don't know.
I mean, I do think, though, that, like, if an athlete is an asshole to you or a coach is an asshole to you, you're more likely to have just a natural bias to be like, I don't like that guy. You still have to write objectively about mm-hmm. them, and you still have to do your job objectively. But you can't deny that there's not something, you know, ingrained in your brain that, like, I don't like that person because the way, you know, he just doesn't treat people, you know, with proper respect and that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Happens, you know, not every day. I mean, it happens, you know, rather infrequently. But still, when it happens, you know, when you get that inside view, you definitely have that thought go through your head.
Right.
Okay, but I mean, like, does that make you say, yeah, I lose that football game to LSU? Like,
no.
To me, it's not, like, related to the competition at all, which means it's not related to my job at all. Like, it's just them as people is different from them as athletes.
But I think being involved, like, the way we're involved, like, daily on a daily basis, interviewing everybody, that is a little bit different than being just a fan on the outside. Like, it's gonna make you a little more objective, I think. Like, you see it more as a job,
right,
rather than as a like a fan on the outside, just like, you know, ignorant toward like every little thing, just watching, wanting to win every game. Like,
right,
when you're in the inside working, it is a little different, and I think it is, you kind of react in a way where you feel like you have to be objective, and you don't feel like you lose that, that if you had any fandom going in, like, you lose that when you're working, because it's just, I don't know what, I can't even explain, like, it just happens over time.
Yeah. What do you think, though? Because you did, you covered this football team, and Urban was obviously not on your list of favorite people, but, yeah, like, how, like what Greg's saying, like, when they lose that game, to when they went on that losing streak in the season, like, are you happy to see that because you dislike Urban, or is it just, like, it's part, it's all in the game?
I don't think I'm happy to see that because I dislike Urban. I think I was happy to see it because it makes for a good story.
Right.
And as, like, a journalist, I think that's what you look for. You want the good story, whether it's them being, like, the best team in the nation and, like, being so good that they're getting so much attention, that's a really good story, or they're losing four games in a season when they were, you know, supposed to rank in the top five preseason, you know, justified or not. That's a pretty good story in a 3-4 game losing streak. Their worst season probably since the late 80s. So I think you are happy at that just because it makes for a good story.
Right. Yeah, that's how I tend to view it, is that it's more about how it affects our job more so than how it affects them as people, even if I like or dislike them. Like, I really like Billy Donovan. I liked everybody on that basketball team. I didn't want them to go to the Final Four, not based on how their happiness or their success. Personally, I kind of wanted them to go to the Final Four so I could cover a Final Four. But, you know, like, I wouldn't let that affect my judgment or my coverage. So, like, you're certainly going to have biases for and against people. It's the way people work, you know. I like and dislike certain people, and I'm very vocal about that. But, you know, like, you can't let it affect how you do your job.
Basically, we're just all selfish. That's,
yeah, exactly. It's all about me. How often do I say it? All about me. Yeah.
I mean, just going back to kind of reiterating what I said, it's whether I like them or not as people is different from how I want them to do in an athletic competition.
Right.
Like, I know that's, like, their primary focus in life, and that's something that they're really driven to do, and that's something that is really important to them. But I still don't think that whether I like them more or less as people would relate to how I want them to perform that way. Right. Whether it's part of the job or not, it's just, like, a separate thing.
But how is that different from, like, let's say you're a fan of a team and you dislike a player on another team, or, like, dislike another, like, another team, just be like the Jets.
Like the Jets.
The Jets, they're a very, very hateable team. Like, they're very cocky.
And Greg,
like,
hates them.
Yeah, don't you hate, like, don't you feel like you want them to lose because of that? Like,
I just want anything bad to happen to them, but they're the most extreme and bizarre case of anything ever.
And you're coming at that from a fan perspective as well, because you're a fan of the Dolphins, you know? Yeah. You're an NFL fan. Right. You're not an NFL journalist. It's a completely different game, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just creating a hypothetical, completely hypothetical situation here, but say Rick Pitino was a jackass to you as a reporter for years when you were covering both Kentucky and Louisville. And then this – I mean, it's completely up to that. I don't know anybody. I'm just making this up. But if somebody then gets word of this, you know, controversy that Pitino was involved in with his mistress and that, you know, the whole affair and then covering up, I think that reporter naturally, if that coach had been, you know – a pain in his rear for the last 7 years of his job and didn't, like, let him do his job, basically, that reporter laughs at that and takes pleasure in that.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. That kind of stuff is separate from the winning and losing aspect of it.
But it still affects Louisville basketball and how you look at Louisville basketball.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, from a reporter's standpoint, if I didn't like Rick Pitino, then I might, like you said, laugh at that or whatever. But if I don't like Rick Pitino, I don't feel like I would want them to lose. Like, it's just separate. I don't know.
But like, losing equates to misery and failure. Like, you want that person to not, like, not be happy. Like, you don't like them. You wish ill upon them. Yeah.
Right. I see where that makes a lot of sense. But either because of the job or just some random thing that I think, it's just never equated that same way for me.
Would you like to see Rick Pitino in this hypothetical get fired then? Because, like, that's misery and pain, but it's not game-related.
That's dicey.
Yeah, that to me is the middle ground that
I think
really
that's
understand.
That's worse.
I feel like that's exactly what we're talking about. There was you can't tell me that there wasn't a hell of a lot of sports journalists that were happy when Brett Favre failed this season.
Yeah,
openly happy that Brett Favre failed.
Or more locally, when Urban left.
Yeah,
you know, like when he's gone, when he's done, when he's not around anymore.
Yeah, No, I agree. I mean, like, I think that it definitely does affect. Maybe for Greg, maybe Greg's different. Maybe he's just, like, maybe a great soul, like, a very good soul. I don't know. But, like, I think for most journalists, that's the way it is.
I'm just the prototypical journalist. That's all. I'm the next generation of superstars.
Apparently, yeah. I don't know. Like, I understand where all this is coming from. And, I try not to let it affect, like Greg said, the coverage of the game itself. But, like, yeah, it's like in the Patino situation, I'd be kind of like a, suck on that. You've been a dick to us all this time. Like, you had this one come. I don't know. It's a very personal, kind of petty sense of, like, behavior. That's the way people are.
But, and again, at least all of us try not to let that affect our writing. It doesn't affect our writing. It's just, like, it's only human to have, like, a view towards something. We're humans. Like, you have to have an opinion on issues.
And the people who are good are able to do that. Yeah. The people who aren't good, the people who are homers and who are just bad and aren't going to do anything are the ones who can't put it behind, like, can't put their personal opinions behind.
And there's the middle ground, and that's called Jason Whitlock.
He
puts it all out there. As Billy Donovan says, everybody has a personality.
Everybody does have personality.
And our job as journalists is just to deal with that and put it aside and just do our job separately from that.
All right, one other email we got was from Abby Ingram, longtime listener, first-time caller, if you will, sent us an email saying that she appreciates the podcast and everything, but would like more coverage of the small sports on the podcast. She said, for example, she knows all about Matt Patchen being, you know, a little dinged up, which Matt Patchen is always dinged up, so, you know, it's not like we actually had to inform her of that, going into August season, but she didn't know about the fact that Stephanie Brombacher, Florida's star softball pitcher, was hurt and hasn't pitched in 2 weeks at this point, I think. Or Liz Green, a gymnast who had a pretty serious injury. So, like, she said the only place you can get that kind of coverage about these sports are with us at the Alligator or through Gator Zone, which is the UAA, which is press releases, which means they're not going to tell you that Stephanie Brombacher is injured. They're not going to tell you stuff like that. They're not going to tell you, you know, the sort of the news information that you want, so you have to come to us for it. And my response to that, I guess, is our print coverage and our online stories are geared more toward those small sports and providing coverage of everything, whereas this podcast, at least at this point when we're dealing with spring football and a successful basketball team, has to be geared more toward the big sports and the stuff that everybody cares about and toward a more broad audience. Because there's certainly a niche audience that really wants to hear about Florida softball and Florida gymnastics. And we covered that in the past. We had, when Tom Green was gymnastics writer, we had him on. I was always on the podcast. I hosted the podcast with the softball team. We had Greg on a couple times during softball season. We talked about volleyball. We're going to talk about baseball more often now that all these other seasons are over. It's just sort of a different market. And speaking generally, the broader group of people want to hear about football and basketball. I would certainly like to talk more about these small sports, but honestly, the other part of this
sex sells.
Right, sex sells, as they say. The other part of this is that we don't know a whole lot. We don't know as much about them, honestly. Like, we've all got a lot going on with the big sports. Like, Greg's been on the road for the last 8 months at this point. Like, I'm covering spring football for two papers and covering basketball as well. We've got, you know, and Greg and I read the stories every night in the office, so we have a very cursory understanding, but we can't be out pounding the pavement telling you about Stephanie Brombacher's injury, because to be 100% transparent here, we didn't know about Stephanie Brombacher's injury until a week after it happened. That's our reporter's responsibility, and we didn't know about it. So I wish I could be more helpful in this case, and we'll certainly strive to be going forward, but a lot of it is sort of out of our hands.
And the only defense I'll say, too, is just that the UAA and their press releases, and then the Alligator here, we're the only two places that actually cover any of these small sports on a, you know, consistent basis. The Sun will do some, you know, some things sometimes, but normally they're just rerunning UAA press releases. Yeah. So, I mean, we are one of the only newspapers or media outlets that actually has a reporter for, you know, gymnastics, softball, you know, women's tennis, women's and men's golf. You know, the two men's golf team. I mean, so we're doing the best we can. We're spread pretty thin, but just keep reading and hopefully you'll find something and learn something.
If it's something listeners are interested in, I'd certainly be open to the idea of, you know, around the time we do this intro to sports journalism thing, just doing a small sport roundup and coming back and we talk about the biggest news in each small sport. If that's something listeners want, we certainly appreciate feedback about that.
Or bring in one of the reporters each week. Bring in more like often to them, feel free to email in. Yeah. podcast@alligator.org, right?
Right.
Get your requests, any sports you want us to talk about. We can bring in that reporter and we should be able to talk about it. Yeah. I don't see why not.
Because that's a perfectly valid complaint from Abby, is that, you know,
especially obviously during football season, it was way down. But even now during the spring, when there is a number one baseball team in the country, a top five softball team, there's and a number one gymnastics team, there's a lot going on across the world of Florida sports that we will try to more accurately and more thoroughly provide information on.
Yeah, and keep reading those stories online. That's why we cover all those sports. And right. You can be informed by just reading the daily stories we have on the small sports online.
Right, and you're going to get at least three softball stories a week. You're going to get at least three gymnastic stories a week. Like, there's stuff going up about them, but we will try to bring it more into the podcast and even into the video show if you're still watching that going forward. All right, and let's wrap this show up with our weekly awards. We got our Major Right Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and Wandy Pierre-Louis Bad Angles of the Week. Chang is downright giddy to get this started, but we're going to start on the other side of the microphone. I'm going to start with Jesse with your majors because I thoroughly believe in ending on a bad note.
And I actually literally just mind-blanked on the guy's name, but it's the kid from VCU. You've definitely seen him after every single win this season CBS has showed, or every single win during the tournament CBS has showed this kid doing his, like, bootleg Dougie. It is incredible. VCU gets in this like roundhouse like group, yeah, and they just let this guy dance for 30 seconds. And Shaka Smart, who's the coolest coach out there, gets on this thing. You're going to kill me. I can't do it. He gets on this, and it's just hilarious. You have to look it up. He'll definitely do it before the Final Four. I mean, they've showed it so many times. It's so funny. He did like a fake Seminole chant when they beat Florida State in the dance. I mean, it's hilarious.
You know what Colin Coward would say? They're not going to win the championship because he knows that he does the Dougie.
Oh, yeah. Where's that guy's father? Where's that guy's father? I hate Colin Coward. That was what Colin Coward said about John Wall, for those who think I'm just being racist or something.
He was racist.
Colin Coward was racist and claiming anyway. But yeah, also props to VCU, just like Shaka Smart, former Florida coach, Joey Rodriguez, former teammate of Chandler Parsons at Lake Howell High. A lot of Florida connections, and VCU making a pretty nice run into the Final Four. Now we're gonna go over to me with my my major. I'm gonna give it to the NCAA tournament as a whole. Very like this has been a really, 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 really enjoyable tournament to watch. Anytime you got a number 11 and a number 8 seed in the Final Four playing against each other, it's March Madness at its finest. I've really enjoyed it. Like, brackets be damned, you know. Like, it's all about enjoyment at this point, and I've had a lot of fun watching it.
I'm gonna give mine to Alex Tyus. Probably his only one ever, so I'm going to give him his last career game. Two consecutive double-doubles, and I even think you can make an argument that he was the most valuable player on this team in the NCAA tournament. Because
I think we might be doing that.
Which is like, might make that argument tomorrow. Check out the alligator.
Which is pretty remarkable, considering, you know, in the middle of the season, or even toward the end of the season, a lot of people were criticizing him for his shot selection and... Including me, and I mean all of us, we were criticizing. He was playing pretty bad, but he really played well in the NCAA tournament. So
that's a good one, right? That's the thing. Somebody I forgot who it was. I was watching the game at my house, and after he made that nasty block at one point, like, "Well, he just got drafted."
Right. He very well could have played himself into draftability with that athleticism, maybe.
Yeah, and honestly, like, he did get a little bit of a bad rap from us at various points throughout the year because his minutes were cut. He played the fewest minutes of anybody in the starting five, I think. And you know, like, look, Eric Murphy was behind him, you know, and Patrick Young's. I don't know that, and like, he took the fewest shots of anybody in the starting five.
He shot
50% from the field.
He averaged 5 rebounds a game.
All right, no, I'm not saying that's
inexcusable.
Right, he's not tough. He's a bad defender. He's a mediocre rebounder. But I'm saying, like, for all the crap...
That'll get you drafted.
Exactly. But for all the crap we gave him about his offensive ability, he shot 50%.
It's no wonder the NBA is going to lock him.
50% shooter.
Right, he could have been worse on offense.
There's no way Tyus gets drafted, by the way. Like, there's no way.
Really?
No way. There's 2 rounds in the NBA draft. Like, it's not like the NFL draft is like 7 rounds.
He's one of the 64 best athletes. That's all they care about.
Right.
What you got, Greg?
Can't see it.
Major. Yeah. We thought Alex Tyus was an unlikely basketball major selection. I'm going with Dan Werner. All right?
Yeah!
We had this discussion earlier, so I looked up his stats. Oh, he's playing in the Hungarian Basketball League. He averages 17.7 points, 9 rebounds. He shoots 41% from 3, and he's getting 3.5 assists and 2.5 steals per game.
Yeah.
This is a superstar. So Dan Werner.
Unreal. Way That's for go. This year?
Yeah.
What's he playing? Well, who's he playing for? Tell the people. People love Dan Werner. I read that in a bar, a bathroom stall at a bar. It said he sucks, and then he sucks something that I can't say on this podcast.
Kapisvari KK. Hungarian Basketball League.
Is he starting? How many minutes is he playing?
33 and a half a game.
Wow. Good job, Dan.
Wow.
Star. complete star.
Great.
He's living the life in Hungary over there.
Right. I'll bet he's a celebrity. Like, he's a local celebrity. They love, like, his blue collar, like, bring his hard hat to the game work ethic. You know, I bet they all wear hard hats in the stands. They all call him Thunder.
All these numbers, they're just impressed that he passes so well.
Right. That's the thing. Dan Warner does all the things that don't show up on the stat sheet until he goes to Hungary and he turns into, like, a me first all star. Yeah. I bet Thunder is, like, the national anthem in Hungary right now. Like, Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
It's the official apocalypse. Dan Warner is actually averaging more than 5 points a game.
Good for him. You know what? Like, I'll say this. He was always a nice guy. God knows he had to put up with a lot of crap in his last couple years at Florida.
Good for him.
Good for him. He's carving out a nice
finding
living.
Finding his little niche.
Yeah.
There
you go. He's going to make a decent amount of money and be happy living his life. And he's not.
I mean, I don't know anything about Hungary. It could be miserable.
He could be stuck in, like, a war-torn area. Right. Yeah, we have no idea. But still, like, I love the idea that Dan Warner is living the dream right now.
There we go.
Good, great, great major, Greg. That's, anytime you give me a stand-up and fist pump during a major, I like it. All right, Jesse, start with your Wandy.
All right, my Wandy's going to be a little bit uncomfortable here, but there was a situation yesterday. It was actually two situations yesterday at the baseball game. One, the fans cheered when the umpire got nailed. That was pretty low. Mm. But he got drilled, like, in the shoulder, and that was when the fans, like, went crazy because there was some early controversy that ensued where the umpire at the game yesterday against South Carolina, which Florida eventually lost 4-3, had a couple missed calls. And in the eighth inning, Florida's pitcher Tommy Toledo supposedly hit a batter. Replays indicated the batter was not hit, but the umpire ruled that the batter was hit. John Hines, who is the SID for the Florida baseball team, who is a nice guy, he's always treated me with respect, did something that was just, I thought, was very bush, and I just, you know, it wasn't very respectable, and it was a dirty move. He got on the PA system and said, replays indicate batter was not hit, and he did it kind of like sheepishly where he knew it was wrong, but he still wanted everyone to know that, like, the umpire made a call. The umpire got it wrong. I understand that, but it's just like, it's just a low blow, and you don't show somebody up like that. I mean, that's that man's job, and it was kind of like showing him up, and I just thought it was dirty because literally it was like a couple plays later that the umpire got hit, and then everybody, you know, all the fans cheered. And it was just kind of, I mean, I just thought it was, you know, there's a lack of class, and I do like Hines, but it was just, a moment I'm sure that he wished he could take back. But I just, it was an uncomfortable situation, and it was just, like, weird. Several of us looked in the press box like, you know, that isn't right. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but that's just not right.
That's not his job. Like, it's fans' job to be happy or unhappy. It's not his job as a sports information director to try to sway how the fans feel.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, if you want to say that to the press box, that's fine. You know, if you want to say, like, hey, if you weren't watching, like, just if you want to write this, replay show that it didn't hit him. But you don't tell the fans that. That's unnecessary.
And he almost didn't even need to tell us that. Like, the TVs are in the press box. Like, we all looked, and, like, it was just... not a good move.
Right. There's
poor
nothing,
etiquette.
There's nothing to be gained by making that announcement, and I don't think the umpire is going to be like, replays indicate there was a typo in that press release.
Right, yeah, exactly.
John Hines calling you out. So like, it doesn't work both ways. There's just no reason for him to have to say anything like that.
Yeah. I think I've never seen that done before, so
like,
that's a
either.
First.
I mean, I was pretty shocked. I mean, like, it's like in the NFL, that, you know, they're not allowed to show those replays on the thing to not show up the officials if they get a call wrong, if they challenge or something. I mean, it's for those reasons, so you don't, like, publicly embarrass someone. So, yeah, that's my Wandy.
Yeah, that's a really
hopefully
good
it's
one.
Rectified.
Right. I'm going to give mine to a more national target, Rick Riley from ESPN.com. I don't really need a reason. Rick Riley's really just not very good anymore. I don't think anybody's going to argue that he's still,
dude,
like, the pinnacle.
Dude, his TV bits are outstanding.
Yeah, the best, Greg. They're the best. He's a wonderful TV talent for the worldwide leader in sports. So, like, he's kind of a clown online. Like, I think his columns have gotten a lot worse. He used to be great. I used to really like him, but now he's kind of a joke. So then he went out there, and I was reading, because he was in New Orleans, so I wanted to see what he wrote. Maybe he wrote something about Florida. But after the Florida BYU game, he wrote about Jimmer Mania. You know, Rick Riley hopped on the Jimmer bandwagon, and he basically ran the Jimmer bandwagon off the tracks, essentially, by saying that, like, based on this one game in which Jimmer scored 32 points while being base guarded and, you know, pressured the entire game, him scoring 32 points and having no support, Jimmer, overhyped, not worth it, not going to be anything in the NBA. And he had one of the most ridiculous lines I've ever read, where he said Jimmer was going to be working at, like, a Provo Isuzu dealer in 5 years. That's not okay. Like, you can't do that. First of all, like, Jimmer is a very, very, very good basketball player. And you can't, based off of one game, be like, well, Jimmer's just overhyped. That's my Crowley impression.
Dan Warner's averaging 17. Right.
I was going to say that.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to go to Europe and average 50.
he's going to be, exactly. He's going to be Wilt Chamberlain in Europe, you know? Like, Jimmer's a very good player. He, like, maybe he'll have an NBA career, maybe not. But, you don't take down the kid's career when it ends based off of one game, you know, when he was hopelessly outmatched. That's terrible.
Seriously, how many other BYU games do you think Rick Riley watched?
None.
Like, and then literally zero.
Rick Riley's sources in that story were awesome, too, where he was like, this guy at a BYU sweatshirt said Jimmer's going to be in the NBA. And he's like, no, he is not. It's like, that's terrible.
Knows more than some guy in a sweatshirt.
Exactly, yeah.
Except he doesn't, because he's wrong.
Right, you showed that guy at a BYU sweatshirt, Rick Riley. He's like, Russell Westbrook said, like, who cares? Yeah. That's terrible. That's awful. Shang?
All right, to keep the hatred going toward ESPN, I'm going to give mine to Jay Billis.
I love Jay Billis.
ESPN,
though.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good guy, but
we all love Jay Billis.
Right, start to your one.
Right, I just want to get that out there. Like, I'm not hating on Jay Billis.
Toward the beginning, yeah, I respect him. He's a pretty good analyst. But toward the beginning of the NCAA tournament, he was saying that the new process with the NCAA tournament, you know, adding the four teams to the field and battling out for the 11-12 seed, was basically irrelevant because those teams weren't good enough to make it to the Final Four, or even make a deep run into the tournament.
Right.
And now VCU, a team that was in that, included, you know, battle, it wasn't even in the NCAA tournament to start with, they kind of like played their way in, is now in the Final Four. So I think kind of has to eat crow a little bit with saying that. I know a lot of people agree with him, and even I agreed with him to a certain extent, but I think this kind of maybe changes some views because, I mean, if VCU's in the Final Four, and it would be totally different if they weren't included. So maybe they were justified to be in the field.
Listen, before we discuss, I'll just get right into mine, because then we can kind of go on the whole topic, which is mine is to anybody who thinks that VCU doing well means there needs to be 96 or 150 or all of the teams in this tournament, because then there's no point to the whole regular season.
Right.
Right now the bubble talk is always, I mean, make of it what you will, but it's always interesting at the very least. To have, like, we don't know if this team's going to get in or if this team's going to get in. And the truth of the matter is none of them deserve to be playing for a national championship because they're all average at best.
Right.
And I don't want 30 more decent teams or maybe even, like, at that point you're getting into, like, kind of bad.
Right.
Like, they're not even all decent anymore. Just playing in this one tournament. I love filling out my 64-team bracket. Didn't go so well this year.
No.
But I love filling that thing out.
San Diego State.
So
I told you Fisher was a bomb.
Listen, anybody who watched that game that I talked to said they looked legitimate, and if Kawhi wasn't in foul trouble, they probably would have won.
Yeah, but they lost.
Yeah, well, that's why I said my bracket was terrible.
All right.
My thing is that, you know, instead of being so subjective and just putting one of those two teams in because, like, you think, like, one person thinks they should be in the NCAA tournament, why not let them play out, like, play a game, and whoever wins makes it, you know? Like, instead of subjectively just being like, okay, VCU doesn't deserve it, this team instead deserves it, why not let them play another team? Whoever wins deserves to go. Like, I kind of see that. Like, I don't know. That's just
Adam and I discussed this briefly last night. Was make the NIT like a giant play-in tournament. I don't have any problem with that. If you really want to take like the next 32, and have them divide them into four, and then maybe there's like four spots where you can slot them in.
The NIT Final Four make it.
Yeah, the NIT Final Four get the. That takes so long, though.
That's the only thing.
It's also essentially the same thing as expanding the NCAA tournament, except you're not matching up like really great teams against all these crappy teams.
I just need to be able to look at a 64-team grid and make picks off of that. I don't really care how we get there.
Quick note, if you expand it to like 250, whatever, it's only one extra weekend.
That's true.
Why not? Might as well.
That's where we're heading, apparently. So that'll wrap it up for this show. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. Get us at us on Twitter, twitter.com/alligatorsports, at Adam D. Berry, at Chang_reaction.
Yes.
And find us on Facebook, facebook.com/alligatorpodcast. Keep an eye out for our video show. A lot of coverage from New Orleans coming up. I believe that'll be uploaded Monday night, Tuesday morning. So keep an eye out for that. Check back with us next week. We'll be talking some spring football, which everybody's real hype about, and probably some Florida baseball as well. Thanks for listening.